John 13:35 says, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Hello and welcome back to Think This Way. This is the podcast of Faith Bible Church. As always, I am your host, Pastor Bryce. And today I have with me Pastor Andrew. Andrew, thanks for being here.
It's always great to be with you, Bryce.
This is the part of the show where I usually try to say something witty, but that's why we're on take two, because take one's witty thing wasn't that witty. So I'm just going to skip that.
You're also with one of the driest of the elders. So
that's why there's more pressure to be even wittier.
No.
You get what you get. Well, today we are talking about evangelism, and we are actually going to be talking about now kind of the nuts and bolts, the how to evangelize. So we've talked a lot about what evangelism is, reasons not to evangelize that we need to overcome, reasons to evangelize, and now in these last episodes, we're talking about how to evangelize in different areas. How do you share the gospel with people at church? How do you do it with your family? How do you do it with strangers? Before we get into some of those details, though, I want to consider evangelism, the how-to of evangelism, not focused on who we're sharing the gospel with, as much as it's focused on how we think about and go about evangelizing. And to that end, I want to mention something from Max Stiles' book, Evangelism, which we've had available in the foyer here at church. Excellent book. And one of the things, maybe one of the central things he points out in that book, is that programs will not solve everything, which really is how we think of a philosophy of ministry overall. We're not anti-programs, but more organic. Trellis and the Vine is another book that kind of lays that out. And that's applying that in the area of evangelism. Sometimes we think of evangelism as the big events where we do evangelism through a program. Those are fine. But here's what Max Stiles says as a warning about those. Quote, "Just as eating sugar can make us feel as if we've eaten when we haven't, programs can often make us feel as if we've done evangelism when we haven't." It could be kind of a checkbox thing. And what he argues for instead of, I mean, programs are fine, but instead of focusing on programs in the church for evangelism, what he encourages is a, quote, culture of evangelism. He says on page 60 of that book, "The local church is the chosen and best method of evangelism." And here's how he explains that in that page and the one following. He says, "I long for a church where the Christians are so in love with Jesus that when they go about the regular time of worship, they become an image of the gospel. I long for a church that disarms with love, not entertainment, and lives out countercultural confidence in the power of the gospel. I long for a church where the greatest celebrations happen over those who share their faith, and the heroes are those who risk their reputations to evangelize. I yearn for a culture of evangelism with brothers and sisters whose backs are up to mine in the battle, where I'm taught and I teach about what it means to share our faith, and where I see leaders in the church leading people to Jesus. I want a church where you can point to change lives, where you can see people stand up and say, 'When I came to this church 2 years ago, I didn't know God, but now I do.' I long to be a part of a culture of evangelism like that. I bet you do too." And that John 13:35 that we started with, I think, reflects that culture. "By this, Jesus said, all people will know that you're my disciples, not by programs, but it's just if you have love for one another. It's the love the church has for each other that then reaches out toward the lost. That is the program. It is the culture of evangelism." So that's kind of my little intro piece. Now I just have questions for Andrew.
And it's terrifying.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be super good. The very first question I have is, as we think of a culture of evangelism as a church, where do you think we are as a church, Faith Bible Church, today when it comes to this culture of evangelism?
So as a church, and this may be, I don't know, hot take, because you hear this all the time, that as a church, Faith Bible's kind of known for others save them, we train them up. I drastically disagree with that. The main reason for that is we as a church are training our people, yes, but we're training our people to have the love that we see in this John passage for the lost, but also for others that are in the body. what we often misunderstand training our people up for is more of a rejuvenation. Like, we're doing what the church is called to do. We're called to come in on a Sunday morning or whenever we meet as a body to revitalize each other, knowing that the second we leave these doors, we're in the enemy's territory. Like, after you leave these doors, it's going to be a constant battle at that point on your soul, on your understanding, on your truth, all that thing. So when we're together, we're constantly reviving each other. We're constantly building into each other. We're constantly pouring into each other. That's the training that you get at FBC. What that also bleeds into is a culture of evangelism. You walk out, if you have a visitor come to FBC, usually they're invited by somebody. That's evangelism. Mm-hmm. We have a false understanding that, like, evangelism is that one-time quick meeting you're going to have with somebody you're never going to see again. That is evangelism, but that's not all evangelism is. Mm-hmm. So whenever I think of Faith Bible as a church that has a culture of evangelism, I think that we do. I think that we do, because we're living out a life where whenever we leave this place, people see that something's different. That's because of the training and the teaching you get at FBC.
I mean, I think about, let's see, it's Tuesday, two nights ago. So Sunday night, I don't know when this comes out, so this might be a week ago for you guys. But Sunday night, we were playing pickleball, as one does, at Wesselman's. And I was there with my D group guys I meet with who do accountability and stuff. So we're there together. And we did specifically start doing pickleball as an opportunity to invite lost friends and stuff. So there we are. And it was right about when I and Michaela had to leave because we got kids and it was late. But we're old and tired. But so we're about to leave. And Colin McKay, sure enough, there he is. He had just played with some strangers who were over there. And it was some kid, I think, who had just graduated high school. I think he was Catholic. And there was Colin. And Colin grabs this guy and says, like, and talks to the rest of us guys. Nate Bilby's there. Some other guys are there. He says, hey, this is, I forget the guy's name now. This is so-and-so, just graduated from wherever. And then immediately, it was like, just like swarmed. Zero. Yeah, just swarmed right on him. So much so that I was kind of on the outside, talked a little bit. I was like, I don't want to overwhelm this dude. But and right away, then the conversation turns. I think Colin had said, like, so you have much of a spiritual background? Are you into spiritual thing? You know, so, and then it's just like going that way. So that to me, as you say, yeah, do we have a culture of evangelism? Yeah, it's, I mean, like that.
I also think, so our small group for the past few years, this year we took a break, but usually for the past few years, the women will go over a book together, the men will go over a book together, just through the summer, just real kind of informal, we'll meet up somewhere, talk about this book. And so the men, I think it was 2 years ago, we were going over a book and we all decided we're going to meet at Mission Barbecue. So we met there, ate at one of the picnic tables outside, and we're getting ready to eat. And so all of us bow our heads and pray. We all have the same book on the table. And this lady gets out of her car that was sitting in the parking lot and came up to us and said, hey, it was really neat seeing people, not even just people, just a group of guys that are bowing their head to pray before meal. That's really neat. I just, you know, that opens a door that you can walk through pretty confidently to spread the gospel. Things like that are evangelism.
Yeah, absolutely. As you go. So a follow-up question to that one then is, what do you think are some practical ways we as a church can take the next steps in being more fully a church with a culture of evangelism?
I think having the understanding that we are a collective body, we are a church, but that church is built up of individuals, and us as individuals have a responsibility. So like we just talked about, the church can have 70 different programs on evangelism, but if you just go to that program and then you walk out the door and you do nothing with that program, it's not the church's fault that evangelism isn't happening. It's you as an individual that are abandoning the responsibility and the calling that you've been called to. So I think that one of the practical ways that we as a church can take the next step is encouraging the individuals within the body to actually practice the steps that you've been taught. Get out of your comfort zone. I'm a huge introvert. I think that's kind of a known fact.
But willing to discuss theology.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's kind of evangelistic.
Yes. So it does require you to get uncomfortable, but it's also required of you to get uncomfortable. You have to actually practice this. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be on the church to create the perfect program for you. Mm-hmm. It's you having to actually go out and practice what the church or the word that you're hopefully studying is telling you you're supposed to be doing.
If we don't like that answer, what would a different answer be? No, I'm just kidding. That is the hardest one to hear. Yeah. Well, yeah. There is sometimes someone will say something about the church or Faith Bible Church, but it is a good reminder to say when you have some critique of the church, which is fair, you are the church. Yeah, that's you, man. I mean, you want the church to change, but you do forget it's made up of those individuals. Mm-hmm. And that leads into kind of this next question too, which is, okay, let's say someone's listening to this. They really want us to be a church with an even greater culture of evangelism. Good. We do too. Okay. But they're not in a position of leadership, so they can't like start a program or preach from the front or anything like that. But they want to see us grow in this area. What do they do? What do they do with that?
Evangelize.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no other answer to that, but it's not the responsibility of the leadership to make you do what you're supposed to be doing. It's not the responsibility of the leadership to force you into doing things you don't want to. That's called a cult. We're not a cult.
You don't want us to send Andrew to your house to make sure you're evangelizing. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, the answer to that is what can individuals do that are not in leadership? Practice it. Do what you're supposed to be doing. Take up your cross and bear it. You're called to be an evangelist at all times. That's why the Lord has left us here. He could have called all of us up as soon as we come to a saving faith in him. He didn't. He has chosen this means to bring others into his kingdom. So go out and evangelize. Don't wait for the leadership to set up a neighborhood knock on the door for you. Go out and evangelize. When you're in the break room and you have the opportunity to talk to somebody about Christ, do it. It makes me think of at the location that we work, Josh Miller works mm-hmm. at the same building with me now. And he told me about it. I wasn't there, but he was talking about how a couple of the guys were in the break room talking about whether or not they're religious. And one was saying, well, yeah, I'm kind of religious. I watch a certain church here in town every Sunday. Another one was like, yeah, I'm religious. I take my hat off when I walk into the sanctuary. And it was like these little examples of being religious. And out of nowhere, one of them paused and went, yeah, but let's be honest, guys, we're not religious like Boss Man and Josh.
Yeah.
And that opened a door for Josh to talk about, like, well, what does it mean for you when you say you take your hat off when you enter the sanctuary? What does that do for you? And he was able to dive into that a little bit deeper. There's doors that are open constantly. The problem isn't that the leadership hasn't taught you how to walk through those doors. It's the fact that we're not walking through those doors.
That's good. Yeah, and sometimes people may underestimate how their own faithfulness is part of what God uses in us as leaders as well. Because it is true, leaders have a multiplied impact. Mm-hmm. So sometimes if you're passionate about something, even the New Testament talks about specifically there are evangelists. I'm not sure what that applies to other than there are people passionate for evangelism. I know that by experience. So everyone should be, but there are some people who are just wired that way. And I think sometimes it can be frustrating because you think, I wish the leadership was talking more about this, doing more about this, leading more in this area. Your advice works in that regard too, because maybe that's true. Maybe leaders do need to. The very best way for that to happen is for individuals in the church who comprise the body to just be faithful. Use their gifting. If you're gifted in that, if you're passionate about that, be faithful. And there's a trickle-up effect, actually. I mean, that is what helps us as elders as well to grow in our own passion for different things. So that is the best encouragement. Otherwise, you just get disgruntled. Don't get disgruntled. Love the gospel. Share the gospel. Well, thank you, Andrew, for these excellent answers to our questions. You may be listening to this, and perhaps for you, you have been a little frustrated and wish that Faith Bible as a whole seemed more evangelistic or had more programs. Or maybe on the other hand, you've not thought about that because you just haven't evangelized for a long time and you feel kind of guilty about it, but you're just not doing it. Whatever the case might have been in the past, May God help us all now to think this way.